The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For more information about the center, or for halachic services and resources, please call 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Sanhedrin Lev Zayin. In today's lecture, we're going to discuss one of the most interesting and important topics in jurisprudence and halacha, the question of circumstantial evidence, what Chazal called umzina. We begin with the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ketzed Maimon Es Eidim, Al Eidim Nefashos. When we're dealing with Eidim, witnesses on a capital case, we give them a series of warnings to make sure that their testimony is legitimate, is appropriate. So it says that we tell them, Machnisin Ozdan, Umaimon Alen, Shema Tomru Me'omed, Umishmua, Eid Mipiyed, Umipiyadim Naman. Perhaps you have not seen the crime explicitly with your own eyes. Perhaps you are saying Me'omed, your estimation, your assumption, or a rumor that you heard, or hearsay, secondhand testimony. So the Mishnah states clearly that we have to warn them to make sure that they are not telling us Me'omed. They are not telling us their assumption. They have to have actually seen it. The Gemara explains, Anamud Beis, Tana Rabbana and Ketzed Me'omed, what would be an example of Omed which is not acceptable for Dinei Nefashos, for capital cases? Omer Lehen Shema Kachrisim, perhaps this is what you saw, this would not be acceptable. What would be an example of unacceptable testimony? Perhaps you saw Sherot Acher Chavera L'Chorva, you saw someone chasing someone else into a ruin, an abandoned old area. Verach Tamacharov, and you chased him, you followed him. Umatzasim Sayef Biyado, you found the purported murderer with a knife in his hand, v'damo metaftef, a bloody knife, v'harugim farfer, and the murdered victim writhing on the ground, imkach risem lo risem klum. This is completely unacceptable. This does not count as testimony. Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon ben Shetach, Erev ben Nechama, that's a lashon shvua, im lo risi echad shirat zachar chaver l'chorva, he saw such a case, one man chased his friend to a chorva, v'rasti acharav risi sayef biyado, I followed him in. Tosa says there were actually two witnesses here, but we followed him and we saw Sayef Biyada, we saw him with a knife in his hand, with Dama Matafte, the blood was running, the Harim of Firefare, and the victim was rising. Amarti Lo, Russia, Mihar Gulaze, Aniyawata, I know perfectly well it was you. I can't do anything about it. Shari Amra Torah, Al Pishnayim Eidim Yumasameis, the Torah requires two bona fide witnesses for a capital case. God, who knows what happened, he will punish the person who killed this man. Sure enough, a snake came and killed the murderer. But the Gemara's point is that we, based in the terrestrial court, we cannot rely on such testimony. This is called umzina, to execute the murder. Now, as we're going to discuss, many poskim have considered this the gold standard of umdana. Many poskim have said this is the best, the most conclusive, the most ironclad umdana, although, of course, fans of mystery stories will know that it's not. This would be a classic locked room type mystery, as in the grandfather of all detective stories, Edgar Allan Poe's Murders at the Rue Morgue, where even when you think something is impossible, sometimes it really is possible, and that may actually be one of the reasons why halacha does not allow such testimony. But be that as it may, this is the point of the Mishnah and the Gemara, that for a capital case, the Mishnah and the Gemara explains, we must have actual eyewitness testimony, circumstantial evidence, omed is not enough. There's one further stage in the sugya which is crucial for us. The Gemara goes on, later on the omed, the Gemara says, Dina Nefashos Hu D'lo Amdina. The Mishnah implies that this is a special stricture, a special rule for Dina Nefashos. Hav Dina Mamanos Amdina. We would rely on umzina for dinei mamonos. Command to Ravacha. The Gemara brings machlokes Ravacha and the Rabbanan. Gomel ha'ocher ben egmalim, nimtza gomel harg betido, biyadua shezeh hargo. So there's machlokes Ravacha and the Rabbanan brought in various places in Shas, in Bava Basra, in Bava Kama, where you have essentially circumstantial evidence. You have a case of torts of Nizakin, and you have someone did some damage, and it's not clear exactly what happened, but it looks like it was a certain person's camel who killed, hurt another camel. Rav Acha says we rely on that assumption, and we obligate the purported tortfeasor, the mazik, to pay for the damage. And the Chum disagree. So the Gemara says, this Mishnah which says that on a capital case we disallow Omed, but the implication is that on a ordinary civil case we would accept Omed, that would be Rav Acha, who does rely on Omed for camels, just not for nefashas. The Gemara goes on, though, and the Gemara's maskana is not like that. The Gemara says that no, the Mishnah could be the Rabbanon, really, the Mishnah means you can't use Omed for nefashas or Momentus. But the warning, we only give for nefashas. Nefashas is, we want to be extra careful not to kill an innocent man, so we make sure to give an extra warning. But in Nechanami, even for Momentus, if we know that the testimony is made Omed, we will disallow it. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs amplifies on this din of Shamshim and Shetach of Omed. Famous Rambam, brought by many of the Mefarshim. This is in Lo Saseh Mitzvah Reish Tzadi. Rambam says it's actually a lav against using testimony of Omed for capital cases. No matter how true it looks, no matter how compelling it looks, we may not rely on Omed. The Rambam goes on and on, explaining that the Tavanaki B'tzadik Al-Tarag, the Rambam says, is an explicit lav against relying on Omed on capital cases. Ramban, in his glosses to the Sefer HaMitzvahs, disagrees. Ramban says that we see in the Gemara that we pass like the Rabbanan, and even for Dina Mamanas you can't use Omed. It's not a special law for Nefashas. And the Pasuk is talking about something else. But the Rambam says no. The Rambam says it's a Dina Nefashas. There's a law. Rav Chanan says maybe the Rambam agrees that you can't use Omed for Mamanas, but there's a special law for Nefashas. Whatever it is, the Rambam says that this Dina of not relying on Omed for Nefashas is actually the subject of a law in the Torah. Now there's one more Gemara which we have to see. This Gemara is in Shavuos. Gemara is in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about a concept called Yediyah B'lo Ra'iyah. There's a type of Eidus where the Eidim didn't actually see what happened, but they know what happened. So the Gemara says that according to Rav Acha, who says that the Gamal Ofer Ben Agmala Mischayev, that we rely on Umzana for Lamanus, the Gemara says, then we would rely on Omed for Nefashas too, as in the case of Shimon ben Shattach. But if we rely on Omed for Mamanas, like in the case of the Gmalim, similarly for capital cases, we would rely on the Omed of Dina Nefashas. We will discuss presently the implications of these two Gemaras taken together. Now, before we get any further into the discussion of Omed, we need to mention a very important point made by Marik. The Marik, Italian Rav in the 15th century, the Marik says a very basic point here. He says, this is in his Tshuvas and Sharash Kuf Chavtes, that there are many Gemaras that clearly say that we rely on Umdana for Dina Mamanas without any dissenting opinion. For example, if a person writes a will because he thinks that he has no children, he thinks his child has died, then he found out his child is alive, we say there's an Umdana that he never really would have written such a will to give away his property to somebody else. Or we say in a case where a ksuva was written before Nisuin, during Erisin, and then the marriage fell apart, so we say there's an Umdana that lokas of elvanat lichnos. He never would have meant to write the ksuva in the event that the marriage dissolves before consummation. Or there's a famous case of a man who sold his house because he planned on making aliyah, he planned on emigrating to Eretz Yisrael, and then he was unable to do so, so we say the sale gets reversed because it's an umdana that nobody would sell his house if he were not planning on moving away. So some of these umdanas actually are machlokes, whether you say them, but the halachal ma'aseh, the consensus of the Gemara is that we do say umdana in many cases. So how can we have all these Gemaras here saying that we do not rely on umdana, like the Gemala, and even for Mamanas, according to many poskim, and we do for... And here we have many other Gemaras saying we do rely on umdana. So the Marik says that umdana basically encompasses two very different concepts. There's what he calls umdana al-guf ha-masa, and umdana on a person's das. When we don't actually know what happened, we don't know who killed the victim, we don't know who killed the gomel, we don't know the actual events that occurred, that's the sort of umdana that we've just discussed in Sanhedrin and Shavuos. That's the sort of umdana that we do not accept for nefashos, maybe not even for mamonos. The other umdanas that I just listed, the umdanas of wills and of sales, those umdanas, we know exactly what happened. The only doubt is what was the intention of the person who entered into the transaction. That's called an umdana of das, of the person's intention. That kind of umdana we do say. What really is the chiluk? Why are these two cases distinct? So the Marik does not really explain that well. There is an explanation offered by Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg. This is in an article in Yeshurun in volume Tezvav, page Tafresh and Gimel. Rav Zalman Nechemia says, practically, as Justice Holmes used to say, the life of the law is experience. Rav Zalman Nechemia says that when it comes to the guf hamasa, the actual event, there, normally we would have witnesses. So the Torah had a higher standard. The halacha asks for actual witnesses. When it comes to das, We have to rely on umdas. We can never read minds. We have to rely on assumptions. So there the halacha is willing to allow us to rely on umdas. But actually, yeah, however you want to explain the distinction, this is the chiluk made by the Marik, and I believe this is accepted by the later poskim, that umdana, to establish intention, is a fairly well-accepted principle. Umdana, to establish the guf ha-maseh, to determine the actual events that occurred, that is much more controversial. Now, the next question we need to consider is, who do we paskin like in this machlokes, Rav Acha and Rabbanan? We have seen that Rav Acha says, regarding the Gomel and other cases, we do rely on umdana, and the Chum say that we do not. Who do we paskin like? So the Ikar Lalacha is that we paskin not like Rav Acha, we paskin that we do not rely on umdana. This is the opinion of the Rambam in Hilchos Niskei Mamon in Perek Ches, Halacha Yudalad. This is the opinion of the Rif in Bava Kamma in Perek Hei, page Chafamud Beis in the Dafim of the Rif. This is also the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch in Cheshem Mishpat and Simon Tav Ches, Sif Aleph, the beginning. The Marek says this is the opinion of the Smag too. So the Gedalei HaPoskim by and large rule like the Rabbanim that we do not rely on umdana. Again, umdana b'guf ha-maseh, we do not rely on an umdana to determine the event in Dinei Mamonos. There is a dissenting view. There are several Rishonim who disagree. The Marek, again, in Sharash Kufchav Tes, says that there is a Mardechai who says that halach is like Rav Acha, but he says the consensus of the poskim is against that. The Radvaz and Shuvas and Chelik Beis and Tafresh Ayin Ches also bring such a Yesh Amrim that halach is like Rav Acha, although he says we don't pass like that. There is also extensive discussion about whether the Rosh may actually pass like Rav Acha. This is a complicated point. We're not going to get into this, but you can look in the Sefer Shimru Mishpat by Rabbi Zafrani, Simon and Gimel, where he discusses the pros and cons of that point. But again, so there may be scattered opinions that we do paskin like Rav Acha, but the consensus of the poskim is that the halacha is like the chachamim, that we do not rely on umdana to establish the fact. Umdana al guf ha-maseh. Now, another point we have to consider is there any distinction in Maskana between Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos? We saw the sugya in Sanhedrin, which initially seemed to think that there was a chiluk based on the Mishnah, that Dinei Nefashos, umdana is not acceptable, Dinei Mamonos it is. But then we saw the sugya in Shavuos that seems to say that if you hold umdana by Mamonos, you hold of it by Nefashos too. And if you don't hold of it by Nefashos, you don't hold of it by Mamonos. So what is the Maskana? So many Rishonim say that in Maskana there is no chiluk. In Maskana, Mamonos and Nefashos are the same. That if you're passing like Rav Acha, we do follow umdana, but if we don't pass like the Rav Acha, as we saw, most Rishonim don't pass like Rav Acha, we don't rely on umdana for Nefashos or Mamonos. This is the opinion of Tosfos and Sanhedrin and Shavuos and the above mentioned Gemaras, Rav Elchanan Wasserman and the Kovach Yurim in Chelik Beis and Siman Lamed Ches brings this position b'shem a number of other Rishonim. Maskana, there's no chiluk. Marik also in that tshuva at great length tries to establish that Maskana, there is no chiluk between Mamonos and Nefashos. The standards are identical. That we pass like Rav Acha, that we pass not like Rav Acha, that we do not rely on circumstantial evidence on umdana to establish the guf ha-maseh. There is, however, a dissenting view. That is the view of Rav Yonatan Eibshitz in Orim Batumim in Cheshev Mishpat. This is in Simon Sadi Sifkan Yudalev. He says there absolutely is a chiluk. He says that Dinei Mamonos, all we have to do is to establish the facts. Even Ofa Parech Baver, even if we hear from a bird who tells us something, as long as we know it's reliable, we do rely, all we're interested is in truth. Now, Rav Acha's umdana may not be good enough. We pass it out like Rav Acha. But if we establish the facts, Rav Yonatan Eibshitz says, that's fine. All we care about is the facts. Mashenkin Nefashos, there is a particular halacha that we have to have actual aid in. Knowing the facts are not enough. There's the custom, the Torah wants us to have actual aid in. And the Tumim actually seems to assume that the umdana of Shimon ben Shetach, which as we mentioned earlier is the gold standard, putting aside locked room mysteries from fiction, but seeing a guy with a bloody knife and a corpse in front of him is considered ironclad proof. That would work, and the Tumim seems to say for Mamonos too. Rav Acha's umdana of the Gemalim is not so compelling, but a real solid 100% irrefutable umdana would work for Mamonos, because all we need in Mamonos is the truth. All we have to do is to establish the facts. Nefashos needs a din, you need agent. But Mamonos, all you need is yediyah blariya. All you need is to establish the fact, and a 100% irrefutable umdana is sufficient. And this would seem to be really the opinion of the Rambam too. Because aside from the Rambam Sefer Mitzvot that we read before, who says a special halacha in Nefashos that you may not rely on umdana, there are two other Rambams in the Yad, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, which seem to imply also that there is a fundamental difference between Mamonos and Nefashos with regard to the standard of proof. With regard to nefashas, the Rambam writes in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Perachov, Halacha Aleph, Ein based in Oshin Ba'om Din Adas. Based in does not rule in criminal cases based on umdana, LLP aids in Baraya Brura. Then he brings the example of seeing a guy chasing somebody else, and the Chorva, and the knife, and the bloody knife. Hol, Lo, Re'u, Be'ish, Sheiko, since they did not actually explicitly witness the murder, Ein, based in Hargan, Be'ed, Zazu, Falkazeti, Yotzibah, now, Vernach, Mitzadik, Al, Tarek. So the same principle the Rambam says, there's a law in the Torah telling you, no matter how solid the evidence seems to be, we cannot punish a perpetrator based on umdana. Four prakim later, in Sanhedrin Perech of Bech of Dalad, in the beginning of Perech of Dalad, the Rambam says, no problem, we can rely on umdana. Yesh ladayin lodzim b'dine mamunas. Now we're talking about dine mamunas. Yesh ladayin lodzim b'dine mamunas. El piyadvarim shadat and notalan shenemus. Whatever he thinks is true, but not just things, but never chazak b'libo shukain. Afa b'she'ein shemraya brura. V'ein tzarach lomar ruyadeh b'vadish never kain shadai k'meshi yada. Gives very good examples. Rambam said, when it comes to mamunas, no problem, it can be done like the umdana. Now the Rambam does paskin in this Gemara, as we said before, not like Rav Acha, but here the Rambam says clearly that there is such a thing as an umdana, that the dayan can rely on an umdana to paskin the Gemara. So that we're going to discuss exactly why this umdana is better than the umdana of Rav Acha. But I'll call upon him and says the furish in the Rambam that even though we do not rely on umdanas for nefashas because the nakivitzadik al tarag, when it comes to mamunas, there are some kinds of umdanas on which we do rely. Now, as I mentioned earlier, in the Kovet Shiurim, this is in Chelek Beis, in Simon Lamaches, in the beginning, this is actually an essay that was published originally, apparently, in the journal Torah Eretz Yisrael. It was reprinted in the Kovet Shiurim. Rav Chanan, at great length, disagrees with the Tumim and says that the Ikar in the Poskim is that there is no distinction between Mamonas and Nefashos, and he brings all the Risharan, as I mentioned before, who say that. However, even Rav Chanan agrees that there is one opinion, the opinion of the Ramah, which we will discuss soon, who says that there is a difference in Mamonas and Nefashos, but Rav Chanan seems to feel that the Ikar is that there is no difference, and he doesn't really deal with the Rambams that we just mentioned. The Tumim himself brings the Rambam as an example, as a raya, that for Mamonas we do rely on umdana and not for Nefashos. Rav Chanan says that most Rishonim say there is no distinction. Now, as we just alluded, there are rayas in the poskim that there are at least some kinds of umdanas that we do rely on for mamunas and nefashos. Like the Rambam we saw says that in Chavdalet, in Perachavdalet, we do rely on umdanas. And the Shulchan Aruch actually passes like that Rambam. In Simon Tezvav and Choshemesh, but Mechaber says that Meikra Adin, a basin, can pass on umdanas. Now they say, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say, that we don't do this practically because Mishrabu Batei Din, Sheinam Uhuganim, that they're not, we don't want to give this power to contemporary Batei Din, even in the Rambam's time. So Lamaita, basin, should not rely on umdana. But both the Mechaber and the Rambam, Mechaber following the Rambam rule, a basin can rely on umdana. And the one early raya they bring for this is really a Gemara. This is, again, another Gemara in Shavuos. This is on Shavuos, Dafnam Vavamud Beis. There's something called Takanas Nechbal. Takanas Nigzal, Takanas Nechbal. That in certain cases, if a person claims that he's been assaulted, in certain specific cases, he can take a Shavua and be motzi the money even though he has no proof. Now, there's another case, though, which does not even require a Shavua, where he can be motzi the money without even a Shavua at all. What case is that? So the Gemara says, if the circumstances are that he could not possibly have inflicted the wound on himself, then he's not until even Shalom B'Shavu. The Mar says, why? Maybe he bumped into a wall. It's not a bruise, it's an actual bite. And it's on his back. So he couldn't possibly have bitten himself on his back or his elbow. So again, locked room. There's no possible way this could have been done except by the perpetrator. Maybe there was somebody else, a third person. Nobody else is around. So there's Mefurisha Gemara that in a case where somebody had the wound which could not have been self-inflicted and there was nobody around to do it but this perpetrator, then he is Chayav, and this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, in Chashan Mishpat, all the way at the end of Simon Sadi, that in a case where nobody could have done it but the perpetrator in question, he is Chayav, money without even a Shvua. Now there's a Ramah, brought by the Tur, also paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, who has an even bigger chiddush. The Gemara says nobody else was around. The Ramah says even if someone else was around, but if that person couldn't have done it, if the Edom know he couldn't have done it, then also the perpetrator is chayev. Now what does that mean, the Edom know he couldn't have done it? So the Shvus Yaakov, in his Shuvahs, in Chelek Aleph, Gimel Kuf Yud Gimel, brought by the Pesach Shuvah over there in Siman Tzadi, brings two interpretations. One way to learn, one interpretation of the Ramah is, physically, the other person was too weak, or too ill, or just simply not physically capable of inflicting this wound, in which case, the din is obvious. What's the difference if there is no other person, or if he's here, but he's simply too weak to do this? Another pshat, which is a much bigger chiddush, is, if physically the person was capable, but if he's somebody who has a reputation of sterling midas and he's a Yari Shemayim and would never have done that, even in that case, the Ramah says, we can be Mechayev the perpetrator. That's an even bigger Kiddush. That's the kind of umdana that we apparently rely on to compel the perpetrator to pay for what he did. Now, as we mentioned before, Tosfos and Shavuos and Daf Lamed Aleph and Tosfos and Hedrin says that Lamaskana, there's no Chiluk in Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos. So Tosfos and Shavuos says, the analogous case to this case of a bite on the back, for a capital case, we would kill the murderer. For example, if the victim has a bite on his skull, and the brain membrane has been punctured. So he couldn't have done it himself, and it's a bite, so it couldn't have happened by banging into an inanimate object, and the only person around is the accused murderer. So it's just said, it would come out that he'd be chayev. We would be able to execute the murderer in such a case. That would be called the blaria. I would be able to chayev the murderer for, even though there were no aid. Not like the Tumah seems to say that Yediyah Blaria does not apply to Nefashas. Tosfos seems to say that it does. Another application of this Ramah, of this din of Yediyah Blaria, is the Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel is an Evan Ezer, and Tumah Mem Beis, Sifkan Yud Beis. The issue there is, if Edim did not actually witness the act of Kedushin, if they simply saw the ring before, and they saw the ring afterward in her hands, but they didn't see the actual transfer of the ring. So this is a major discussion in the Poskim. The Beis Shmuel argues that it would be Kedushin, at least according to some opinions, and he says that it's like the Ramah. The Ramah says that in these cases where nobody else was around, this is called Yediyah Blaria, and this is acceptable Edus, at least for Mominus. So the Beis Shmuel says, so too for Kedushin. This would be called Yediyah Blaria, even though they didn't actually see the Maisa Kedushin. But if they saw enough of the circumstances to know that that certainly would happen, that's sufficient. The Beis Meir over there talks about, and the Chuvit Beis Shlomo, the Skal Yerav, Rav Shlomo Drimmer, and Chashem Mishpat, Simon Kuf Chavav, also says, you see from here, that there is such a thing as Yediyah Blaria, that in certain cases where there is 100% positive proof that this is what happened, then we rely on that for Mammon, for Kedushin. Now the truth is, though, that this raya we're bringing from the din of Nechbal, that if there was nobody else around and he must have done it, we're mechayev him, not everyone agrees that that's really an example of Yediyah Blaria. There is an opinion that that's a special knas that Chazal were masaking for Nechbal and is not something which has general applicability. The Shimur Mishpat, again, page Kuf Pei Zayin, attributes this position to Rav Israel Meltzer, and the Shvus Yaakov himself that we read before in Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Yud Gimel also mentions such a possibility. Want to say the Rambam holds like that, Magen Mishnah, that this is a special knas, and this is not a raya that we ever paskin based on Yediyah Blaria. Now there's another very important point made. This is by Rosal Melchemi Goldberg again in his Yeshurun article. A very big chiddush. Rosal Melchemi was talking about the question was turning over an alleged abuser, a child molester, to the police. Now there was no proof that he actually abused children. There usually isn't. But there was very strong circumstantial evidence. The question was, can we act on that to turn the person over to the criminal authorities, the civil authorities? So Rav Zalman Lechemi has a long, several pages, an interesting tshuva on umdana with various, you know, various of the sources we've been discussing, going back and forth. But at the end of the discussion, he says that this is all ex post facto criminal justice. Can we issue a formal verdict of execution or other kinds of corporal punishment against a criminal? That's what we say, that we don't rely on umdana for the guf ha-maisa. But l'chatchila, he says, if we have a road day, like in Shimon Shetach's case, we saw somebody chasing somebody with a knife. We weren't sure he's actually going to murder him. We don't know. We can't be sure. But it looks like he is. So could we stop the murder? Could we hit him or stop him? He says, certainly yes. He says, umdana, we don't rely on it for criminal sentence after the fact, but to stop a road day, to save the victim's life, we certainly would. So to here, he says, of course, you have to have chachamim and people who are very careful and understand the fact and know that it really is a strong umdana. But if it is a strong umdana, he says, the fact that we don't rely on umdana to moti money or for criminal justice does not mean that we cannot turn an abuser, a purported abuser, over to the police. He says we can, as long as the umdana is really strong, we are able to rely on umdana to turn the abuser over to the police. This is in Yeshurun, Chelek Tezvav, page Tafresh Nunhei. Another very interesting contemporary discussion of umdana is by Chacham Avadia. In the Tshuva Kibbe Amar, this is in Chelek Zayin, Chashon Mishpat, Siman Ches. The question there was to rely on what he calls a Mechunas Emes, a polygraph, lie detector. What status does that have l'halacha? So Rabbi Yosef, at great length, argues that we absolutely do not rely on polygraphs. It's not sufficiently reliable, he says, and we don't rely on umdunah. He brings all these sources that we've said, that halacha is, you cannot rely on umdunah, you certainly can't rely on a polygraph, which is not even such a reliable umdunah, he says. It's less reliable than some of the cases we've been discussing. He does bring one view, the response to Emek Halacha, Baumel, who says you absolutely do rely on a polygraph. Ad kidei kach, this Rabbi Baumel says, that even if Edom said to the contrary, we would dismiss the Edom as being liars. That, Rabbi Yosef feels, is absolutely not true. He says we don't rely on umdunahs for dinei mamonos, we certainly don't rely on polygraphs. He does add, he does leave the door open a little bit, says Rabbi Yosef, he does leave open the possibility that if the technology improves and the polygraph becomes really, really reliable and foolproof, then he says perhaps we would have to reconsider, perhaps we would rely on the polygraph. But given current technology, he says, this I think is true, that people will tell you that they're not all that reliable, certainly he says, It would be like an umdunah or less than an umdunah. We would not rely on lie detectors for dinei mamonos or Yishtom Ben Anisha's case. One last reference is the Shimur Mishpat. This is Rabbi Zafrani Sefer, or Zafrani of Yerushalayim. But Shlomo Zafrani, the author of various Svarim on Chashon Mishpat, the Shimur Mishpat, in my view, is one of the very best contemporary works on Chashon Mishpat. Extremely erudite and extremely accessible. Highly recommended. He has a several-page shuva. His discussion was relying on DNA evidence, DNA testing for various questions of dinei mamonos and other questions. And he has a very interesting discussion on umdunah, quoting many of his sources. We do rely on umdunah, we don't rely on umdunah. I don't think he has an absolutely clear maskana, but he applies all these principles that we have seen of umdunah and circumstantial evidence to the question of whether halacha would accept DNA testing for dinei mamonos or for other questions. So these are the basic principles of circumstantial evidence in umdunah. We have Rav Acha the Rabbanan. Most poskim paskin like the Rabbanan that we do not rely on umdunah. However, there are poskim who say that there is a level beyond umdunah of vaday mamish, which we do rely on umdunah. And again, practically speaking, you have to carefully consider the days of the poskim and whether the level of certainty falls into this higher category. But the basic idea is that we don't rely on umdunah, but there are certain cases in which we are absolutely convinced of the facts, where at least for some poskim, we will rely on umdunah.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.